So we have just one last item, item five, the agency financial dashboard and budget update.
All right. Good afternoon, Chair Imason, State Foresters, members of the board. For the record, my name is Travis Medim. I currently serve as a Deputy State Forester and then the Operations Director. Normally, I serve as the Department of Forestry's Eastern Oregon Area Director. With me is James Short. He is the Deputy Director for Agency Administration. Our agency administration chief, Bill Herber, is out sick today, so I will be pinch hitting for him. And what that means is James will carry all the load. So sorry, James.
Appreciate it, Travis.
Today's agenda item is a high-level overview of the department's financial dashboard and short presentation on the GRB. The intent is not to dive down into individual divisions or a whole bunch of specific information, but truly, as the board has asked for, paint a high-level picture of the agency's financial dashboard. Recognizing we're probably a little past time, we may expedite this and may look to cut a little bit out at the very end in the essence of time. So with that, we'll go pretty fast. James, take it away.
Good afternoon, Chair Imason, State Forester Doherty, members of the board. For the record, my name is James Short, Assistant Deputy Director for Administration. Firstly, given that we have several new board members, I wanted to quickly highlight the purpose of this agenda item. This presentation is given biannually and will provide a high-level overview of the agency's financial status. For your awareness regarding the $102 million fire season we just experienced, one of the biggest areas of concern over the last few months has been cash availability and budget expenditure limitation. Since we were the responsible agency for most of these fires, we have to cover these expenditures until cost recovery can be completed. Given the fire season costs were about a quarter of our entire biennial budget, you can understand some of the difficulties we've experienced as an agency. To highlight our limitation issues, here's a chart of our current legislatively approved budget. The darker shaded areas are where we have started, or where we started the biennium with our legislatively adopted budget. As you can see, the lighter shaded areas between the 2017 and 2018 fire season, our budget has increased over $140 million. You'll notice that our general fund has increased by over $30 million, which was primarily for the 2017 fire season costs. We have requested an additional $31 million of general fund as we move into the upcoming legislative session. This increase will increase our budget over to about $600 million. Here's our cash balance for our main account through the biennium to date. You'll notice quite the roller coaster ride as we go through two major fire seasons. I'd like to explain some of these peaks and valleys of the chart. As you might expect, the biggest draws on our cash balances are fire costs. The red circles indicate large amounts of payments to support those expenditures. You see a major reduction in June of 2018. This purple circle indicates our paying back of the Treasury line of credit. This line of credit cannot span fiscal years, so we have to pay it off before June 30th. The orange circles are where we pull in receipts from our fire protection assessments. You'll notice that in November of 2018, even though we pulled in about the same amount of cash as of 2017, our fire costs were so high, the increases were negligible because of the cash that was expended at a high rate to pay for the fire season. The green circles are where we've had to draw large amounts of cash from the Oregon Department of Treasury line of credit. In 2017, there was a total draw of $50 million, and in 2018, a total of $75 million was drawn from the line of credit. To add complexity, ODF still has to distribute revenue that can further compound cash flow issues. These are highlighted by the blue circles. Fortunately, we are back to business as usual as far as our accounts payable goes from this past fire season, and we can get back on track with our cash balances as our fire cost reimbursements come in. So speaking of cash, we are looking good on our revenues compared to our biennial projections. As you're probably aware, fire cost recovery can take many years, and this manifests in what you see on the chart for the fire protection program. Some of our revenues booked for this biennium is from previous fire seasons. just as some of this year's fire seasons will move into the upcoming bienniums. The state forest is on track with their revenue. Private forest shows a normal picture with most of their revenue coming in later quarters of the fiscal year, as well as having excess limitation. Administration is pretty much on track. This chart is skewed by the $100 million we are carrying as an agency regarding the Elliott State Forest bonding transaction. Other programs include equipment pool, FMATA, capital improvement, and construction, which all carry extra limitations. As for where the department sits regarding expenditures compared to our 2017-19 biennial budget, we are sitting pretty much as anticipated. Fire season is typically overspent by now, but will slow down due to the season ending. The other programs typically spend at this lower rate compared to the expenditure limitation they carry. On the administration side, you'll once again have the Elliott $100 million skewing the chart, but if removed, the administration program has spent about 64% of their budget. Earlier this morning, State Forester Doherty talked about the governor's budget. I wanted to briefly touch on some of these technical aspects of the budget. As submitted, our ARB agency request budget contained five policy option packages. And as mentioned earlier, the agency initiative was not included in the governor's budget. The fire season severity package was also not included in the governor's budget, but it was moved forward into the emergency fund budget. Also not recommended in the governor's budget was our policy option package for deferred maintenance. As outlined in Senate Bill 1067, all agencies must request 2% of their deferred maintenance costs. But ultimately, this 2% was addressed at the statewide level. In the end, only our state forest other fund limitation requests were moved forward into the governor's budget. So without the policy option packages, in addition to the one-time funding for the Elliott State Forest being removed, the governor's budget ends up at about $390 million. Ultimately, the governor's budget comes in at roughly current service level for the agency, with some typical reductions in S&S services and supplies and vacancy savings.
So maybe we can pause there. There's some great stuff going on in agency administration around some modernization that we have some slides on, but in essence of time, we could pause here and bring that back at a later point in time, or we could cover some of those. It's 100% up to the board.
Okay. Right on. All right, thank you. I did want to take a minute to let the board know where the administrative branch is headed in regards to managing our business operations. As you may be aware, state agencies administer most of all business functions using a multitude of systems managed by the Department of Administrative Services. Many of these systems are 30-year-old mainframe systems. Okay, so wait till you get to the next slide. Ultimately, these systems are our systems of records and must be utilized. However, agencies have some flexibility to interact with them in a way that makes the most sense for the agency. There it is, 30-year-old. Here's an example of one of our current financial systems. The data is not important here, but I do want to highlight that in many of our processes, for example, fire finance, the process is very complex, but we have simplified them to better utilize the systems we have to work in. However, this limits our ability to do a lot of fine-tune and real-time analysis of many areas of our operation. What the administrative branch is currently undertaking is a modernization effort across many of our fronts, which will introduce systems and processes that will allow us to do business with more complexity, even simpler than we do now. One of our key areas is a business intelligence system over our financial systems. This will allow us to see the data and emerging issues in a much more graphical and contextual manner. So instead of that black screen I showed you previously, we have information available to us in a more usable fashion. It's also more consumable for someone who is not a subject matter expert in the field. So much more to come from us on this front, but I just wanted to give you a highlight of ways we are improving our business operations. That, I conclude my presentation and take any questions. Thank you.
At, I think it was our last board meeting when the State Forest folks were up, I asked if we could have an additional slide put in the dashboard that shows State Forest revenue and expenditure over time. You know, I know for the first number of years that I, certainly all of the first term, almost any time we saw dashboard information, we had the State Forest graph of going to zero. We've had a number of, I think Bob Van Dyke in particular, but a number of stakeholders that have been raising questions about revenues and expenditures in State Forest. And I'd like to see that information graphically presented to us.
So I appreciate that. Thanks, Cindy. As you know, I mentioned up front, this is an agency high-level overboard dash view, and we weren't going to dive down into individual divisions. There are opportunities to do that, you know, whether it's in State Forest, as we're talking about forest management plans, or annual reports from each of the divisions. And so the intent with this was, again, 50,000 foot, provide that dashboard.
Yep.
Those opportunities would occur when divisions are here to have those conversations.
Yeah. I know for a while the revenue to zero was part of the agency dashboard.
Yeah, and so this time what we talked about when we, one of the goals of this dashboard is to help you know when the light's red, if you think of it as a dashboard and it's time to pay attention.
Yep.
And that was around the fire and the limitation and borrowing.
Yep.
Was it $50
million?
$75 million and having to then go out and get another line of credit.
Yeah,
those were eating our lunch towards the end of fire season, and so when the State Forest was brought up, it was that same sort of red light. We have an issue here. We need to bring it to the board attention. We are addressing it now at the board, and I think that kind of a detail should be brought up within the forest management plan analysis. That's where we see that as being relevant to be bringing that in terms of.
Yeah, I'd certainly personally like to get some information on that because we've had some testimony and some commentary, and I don't know where things stand. So I'd like, it seems like that's something that you all would be better able to do than the State Forest folks able to do because it's a financial thing, you know, sort of what have your costs and, cost per FTE. I don't know what the proper
unit would be. I appreciate that. I think the larger context around State Forest, around financial viability, is we've talked about it's really a three-legged stool.
Yep.
And we've talked about the forest management plan. We've talked about business improvement. We've talked about business modeling. And so really those are the experts that are implementing that. And, you know, in terms of the dashboard, the 50,000 foot, underneath that, as you get into financial viability and the policies of State Forest, they are truly the experts in that.
And yeah, and I'm not looking policy. I really was wondering more about the budget stuff. And so if we could get the budget information on, revenue and income over time, so that I have a gauge by which to judge all of the testimony on that topic that we're hearing. Well, at this point, it's unanchored for me.
Yeah, and again, I think if I recall those correctly, they weren't just past revenue, it was future projections that everybody was interested in.
Yep.
And the future projections are not a budget item. That's an analysis modeling thing, the forecasting. Yeah. And we kept coming back, and it was always shifting out, which is one of the challenges of trying to forecast timber prices beyond a year or so. We'll have a State Forest topic coming up, and again, I think that's a place where we should be, bringing that. That's where we would see bringing that information.
Yeah, and again, I'd go back to James's slide that shows the actual financial transactions for State Forest. You can see that.
I think what you're mentioning is for the revenue. Biennium, and I'm looking for a longer time frame because what we're being told is that we're in a period where our income in State Forest is higher than it's ever been, but our costs of operation are so high that that's what's driving us to the problem of financial viability. And I have no way to know whether that's right or not.
Can I?
Yeah.
I'm curious because you have for most of the time I've been on the board and Cindy's been on the board. There was a slide in this dashboard that was the State Forest cash balance.
Yep.
and it had history and it had future. And in order for you to do that, you had to have some estimate of revenue and expense, right?
Yeah.
And I think you and I talked about that. This can't be, this isn't that difficult. I mean, certainly on the expense side, there's a little more certainty about the assumptions that go into that. Right? I mean, there's, I mean, I appreciate that every 2 years you don't know what's going to happen. But so, I mean, I think that was the question.
And we dropped, and if my understanding is we dropped that about a year or two ago, or was it? And it really came and we switched from the revenue projection, which showed the FDF fund, and then we switched to putting up projected revenues and projected costs, which is a more recent thing. But I think we did that during state forest topics. Again, I can talk to State Forest about getting that, having them where they're at with their projections and are they projecting that far forward. Any sort of, when we look at financial viability.
Well, Liz is sitting here.
Yeah. So
when will we next have your information? Is that when your next step before the
board? I think if you go back and look at the minutes, it was inferred that we'd be able to have that in the dashboard in January. So I was looking for it.
Good afternoon, board members. Chair Iverson, Peter. We are
welcome.
Joking, right?
Yes. So we've discussed financial viability in several ways, and we do have metrics, and we are the experts. So I appreciate that and track it closely, our expenditures, and we have projections out about 4 years of. We're expecting from the slide that James just took down there, we could see that we are exceeding our revenues on our biennial projection. So that is good. And our expenditures are tracking as they were projected to be when we developed that biennial budget. So we are in good shape. And we have benefited from the recent higher cycle in the forest products markets. As far as a detailed presentation and kind of a grounding in the information, it really speaks to, you know, this longer term look that Cindy's talking about and others have too around expenditures and potential revenues. Way Liz and I have been thinking about that is it's really in the analysis portion of the forest management plan and really helping us define, are we going to meet financial viability over the long term with benefits from a new forest management? And so we understand and we hear that you're asking for that information and we can bring that to you as part of the analysis of the forest management plan to get grounded.
I actually would really like to see essentially the dashboard that you used to show us in this financial dashboard presentation, but with the additional revenue expense lines over that same time period. So I'm not only looking forward, but also historically. You know, what has our revenue line been doing over the last 10 years and what has our cost line been doing over the last 10 years, as well as whatever projection forward you can do.
Okay. I think it would also be helpful, at least for me, to understand how much is being spent developing the new forest management plan, since we already have one in place now, compared to what it would cost to simply pursue the HCP compared to pursuing both of them at the same time. So in other words, what's the net increased cost associated with doing both of them simultaneously versus one or the other? And then given one or the other, what are the costs associated with each?
Yeah, okay. I understand that, and I know when we presented the HCP in November, we had project costs in there, and we haven't presented the projected FMP project costs, but we could make an estimate there, and that is, and as Peter said earlier, you know, out a year or two, we feel pretty good about our projections on cost and revenue, and as you get out there further, it gets extremely difficult to be accurate.
What I'd like to see, you know, I think is what businesses typically do, you know, obviously you can't predict the future completely, but you can, what a typical forecast would be. And in your case, it's since you're really so dependent upon timber prices, and that's where most of the revenue is coming from, is you have, you know, probably three different forecasts, and one is based on timber prices in this range, and then a median range and a high range, and so that you're able to have the most likely scenario and a better and a worse. That's typically the kind of thing that I think I'm used to and would love to see. I think, you know, we're still trying to get our arms around what Bob Van Dyke has brought up repeatedly. It appears that the costs have gone up dramatically and are likely to, but we would like to understand why. And is it, you know, and I understand most of it's probably not things that you guys are able to control, particularly if it's employee-related costs of PERS and medical care, but I think there's a high level of interest on this board to understand that.
And I think we've said that part of the FMP process is going to be a deeper dive into what those costs are and what the projections are in various. That's the only way we really understand if we're getting to financial.
In the meantime, the quick overview would be really handy.
Okay, and so once again, giving clear direction to the department and staff, and we have a work plan that was laid out and sort of going on, and I think we have a couple of things scheduled already in March for the state forest management planning process, as well as the HCP process. Those were sort of work that was added partway through the process, and now we want to see another intermediate product that's not directly related to either the FMP or the HCP fully, because it's more now of a sort of a projection of where we are in financial viability now, and what was a past trend and what was a forward trend. So I'm trying to think of where appropriately does this fit in. And
are we going to see the dashboard every board meeting, or is that going to come quarterly, the overall dashboard?
I'll let him.
It's twice a year.
Twice a year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That's probably why it was inferred that this would be in the January dashboard, because it's so long till the next dashboard that we see. Because, yeah, I'm not looking to the deeper dive. I'm just looking for, you know, what used to be in the dashboard, except with the cost and expense and revenue lines. So we start to get a feel for it.
One of the things that we're doing for March, and correct me if I'm wrong, but we're bringing back an overall vision and kind of what went wrong and why are we doing the forest management plan.
Right. That was, so Liz Dent, for the record, that was a response to the last board meeting where we were discussing the forest management plan, and the board asked us to come back describing the overall vision for a revised forest management plan and to call out at a high level what is working with the current forest management plan, what isn't working, and what changes that we're proposing that might address the twin goals. So that's a document that we've been diligently working on and is bringing that forward and pushing back what we had already planned to bring in March. So this just this sort of cascading process. We add a product, the planned product timeline gets bumped out, and that's fine, just full awareness of that. And if I'm tracking, Peter, where you're going, that is still on our books for what we would bring in March, and we would not bring necessarily any additional products as are being discussed here today. Is that...
Yeah, I'm just curious of the workload required.
No, I mean, I think that's fine, but I think, I mean, given the previous discussions about this, and that the next dashboard is scheduled for June, maybe you could talk to us about in March sort of what metrics you want to be including or showing to us in the future as part of that discussion in March.
So I hear you, and as I look at my notes, I'm seeing a couple of different asks, and from our traditional board members, I think they're asking for the dashboard, and I know what that is, and we can produce that for March. From some of our newer board members, I'm hearing additional requests for specific project costs and to show historic trends and possible futures. And I could understand where they're at too, not having that background knowledge. And so I need clarity from the board itself. Is it just the dashboard slide and that's the informational piece, or is it the bigger conversation around trends and why our costs are increasing and what we really predict for costs and revenues in the future?
I think the immediate request is a simple one. I'm not mistaken. It is.
That was the promise I thought we got in November that we would see this. I'm just looking back at my notes from that meeting, and that was what the request in November was, that this January we'd get the dashboard.
I was trying to finish
there. Sorry.
So I think it's a simple request, which is it's a forecast of what we're, you know, what's happening with the fund.
Not the fund as much. I think it's just the most recent dashboard.
Yeah, but I think we still. I think what Cindy was referring to, and what Nils was referring to, we always Satish would give us some numbers, and it would indicate like we were going to be out of money in 2020. I think it was keeping an eye on that number, right? And that's moved around because of the relatively high stumpage prices we had. And then and what our costs are. I think
Austin revenue.
View that what we needed at some point as we get more deeply into FMP is more depth to all of that. So we can get a sense as we look at different options for a new forest management plan, how those numbers would change in a way that is positive.
Yeah, great. So maybe I'll just say what I think I'm hearing and how I think we can respond to it. So I see two products for March in addition to what we're already doing, that we would bring our revenue forecast as including a look back, so historic revenues, projected future revenues, historic costs, projected future costs, and what we can do there as well is recognize, and I think you all do, the amount of the revenue that's distributed to the county versus the revenue that we keep. So that is something that we can do. I'm also hearing that you'd like to see the Forest Development Fund balance, which is, I think, what you all are kind of,
that was the new.
Yeah, although we did move from that to the costs and revenues because that, especially in the context of thinking about the forest management plan, that's really the relevant piece. I would argue the Forest Development Fund is going to come and go and we're going to have to manage that accordingly, but it's really about how do we control our costs and how does that relate to the revenues.
Forest management. The Forest Development was what created some sense of
correct, right?
We need to do this sooner rather
than right. So those two things are something that we can, I think, relatively easily bring in March. If there's any issues that come up between now and March, we'll explain why we weren't able to do that when we come to the March meeting. So there's that. And then the second piece, which is really important, is around when we're talking about the forest management plan and having the conversation with the board that where we're looking at the trade-offs between a proposed plan and the current plan, that part of that analysis has to look at relative, and that's an important term here, relative costs and revenues between a proposed plan and a current plan. We did that during the ALT-FMP work, and it is It may seem like a simple exercise at face value, but we'll describe at the time, you know, what the levels of uncertainty are and why. I would remind folks that as a public entity, we bear certain costs that are expected, and rightly so, in service of Oregonians. And a lot of that is, you know, additional analyses, you know, needing to bring on facilitators. We spent money on a science review during the alternative FMP work. So there are things, when there are conversations around your costs have gone up and why is that, there are a lot of things happening that have nothing to do necessarily with our staffing level. And so there are a bunch of other costs embedded in ultimately what our expenditures end up being at the end of the year. So I think that's just, I would really like people to remember that.
Yeah. Yep. By the way, I don't think anybody is inferring that you guys are layabout waste rolls getting paid exorbitant amounts of money. I don't think anybody has that assumption.
The
question that gets raised is, can this be an economically viable enterprise as it exists?
And right.
That's
right.
And if that's a bigger, if the board were to conclude that it couldn't, then I think the state would have to look at other options for how they want to proceed.
That's right.
Are we done here? Because I have one other question.
No, you go right ahead.
Okay. I have one question back on the main cash account balance. I'm just curious where you're showing sort of a relatively low position over the course of this time span. My assumption is that you've got accounts receivable or current receivables, whatever your language is. But then my second question would be, are those primarily from the federal government, and are they at risk with a shutdown, and are there concerns there or not?
So yes, some of those are accounts receivable, and our FEMA reimbursements are held up currently due to the government shutdown. So.
Okay, but you're not concerned about your cash account balance and when you might get reimbursed?
I am concerned.
Yeah. Okay.
And this is not a trivial question. This came up at both executive leadership team and at the Natural Resource Cabinet. And we are not the only agency that is at risk. And some of them, such as human services and those which rely on a much larger portion of their federal funds, are starting to look. We have a line of credit because of our fire program, so we do have access to capital, which, and I haven't heard from staff that that's going to be an issue yet, but we do have we're prepared to go borrow money. There are other state agencies that are normally not in that role, and the governor's asked to hear about that and report out. When is it going to be crucial that we start setting those treasury lines of credit up? And it, you know, it will start having an impact to the overall state government in terms of unexpected interest costs, particularly if the larger education and DHS, Department of Human Services, end up having to start borrowing money to maintain their current services. So that it's not a trivial question. And so, yeah, we are concerned and attentive to that.
Neil's never asked a trivial question.
Well, he suggested it might be. Maybe not.
Anything more for this group? We have one. We have some public comment.
I would just say to the board, thank you for the clarity and the direction, and we'll come back on with the request on the dashboard in March. And I appreciate the clarity for what you're asking for. So thank you.
Okay. One whose name has been mentioned several times in this conversation, Bob Van Dyke.
Board members, State Force Majority, for the record, Bob Van Dyke. for the time late in the day, it has been a long meeting, I know. I think you've addressed some of the concerns I had. Just to try to be clear, what I'm getting at is that we all want to have a viable state forest program. And in part to get there, we're thinking about changing the forest management plan, and how much we might change that and what we could expect of changes are important questions for us. What I don't think the board's been as clear at, and I could use some help understanding, is what kind of costs we're going to face in the future to staff that forest management plan. Even if we just keep the current program, what are we expecting ahead? And I want to join some of the comments that have been made that I'm not implying any criticism about effort or efficiency or any of those things with the department. I really don't have much to speak to one way or the other in that. I do know from reading the paper that there's a lot of pressure on agencies to meet costs which they don't control, that are leading to significant cost increases over time. And I think this is true for public sectors, frankly, across the nation. So, I'm sure there are some that are quite specific to the Department of Forestry and the State Forest Program, separate from the broader costs that the government faces for state employees. So anyway, those are the concerns I'm getting at. I'll continue to try to be in communication with the staff about those to the extent I can address them, but I'm glad and appreciate the conversation there's been about them today. So that's all I had to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think anybody have anything else here?